Well, it is a pleasure to be here. It's hard to believe that it's January the 27th and I've already broken a New Year's resolution. One resolution was not to be so stupid this year. But yesterday, I'm helping a friend of mine rebuild a 1964 pickup truck, and I decided that my finger should stop the metal cutting blade on, and so I got a little owie. So I'm going to be stupid this year like I was last year. But I want to bring you warm greetings from my church, Aldergrove Alliance Church. Just a little ways down the valley, my family's there worshiping this morning. And as well, warm greetings from Focus on the Family. Many of you listened to the program, had some resources from Focus. We appreciate your prayers so much. As you're aware of what's happening in Canada, you will know that we are not running out of work or opportunities to serve people. And it is our pleasure to come alongside and help families and marriages so that they can take the next step in improvement. Part of my role there is to be a speaker for Focus, do workshops in marriage and parenting, and help folks interact with one another and work through some things together and understand the joy and the value and hope that there is in family and in marriage. And I bring you greetings as well from my wife, who is at Chilliwack Alliance this morning, because we're staying with my mother-in-law right now until she gets settled into a new place to live. And so isn't it interesting that right now, right around here, there are lots of folks just like us worshiping the Lord at the same time. In fact, think about British Columbia. Not just Alliance churches, but people who follow Jesus. All through this province, lifting their voices to sing. In fact, right through this whole time zone. I wonder how many thousands of people that is. But as we think of the globe, we think of your pastor, Brian and Myrna. They're in Indonesia, right? Malaysia, close enough. I'm sorry, Brian, if he's listening. But they've been worshiping already this morning as well. And there has been a wave of worship all around this globe that we live on. And we're close to the end of it. And I almost am jealous of the people who get to worship in Hawaii. What a great place to worship. But they kind of get to end that day of worship together. Phenomenal to think that way. And I'm intrigued by the journeys that people are on, where the Lord takes them. I'm intrigued by the maze and the web of intersections and how we cross each other's paths. And part of my role in how God has wired me is to be a networker, and I like to meet people, and I remember people's faces. I don't always remember their names, but I remember people. And I always assume when I go into a church that I'm going to know somebody or recognize somebody. But there are always surprises, and so today is no different. Some of you I've known since I was a little weasel, back in Calgary. That's right. Thanks, Frank. And then others more recently, and then some surprises today to see people that I've known or I know their parents, and it is so cool to connect with people. And your pastor, Brian, and I go back a long way. He's way older than I am. But when I was in grade 9 and he was in grade 12, he was my Sunday school teacher. When I interned after part of my way through Bible college, I interned at First Alliance where Brian was on staff. He wasn't my supervisor, but a good friend of his was, and it was an amazing time to be interning with a man named Willie Murray, with Brian Bueller, with Miriam Charter, with others like that. The impact was incredible. And when Brian came to Focus on the Family one occasion to speak to us after a traumatic event that had happened at Focus on the Family, he was very compassionate and caring as he spoke to our staff there when we were downtown. He spoke from the Psalms, and the one thing he said to me, he sent to the whole staff, is, "Do not fret. Don't worry. It leads only to evil." And so he was a great comfort to us. And we've had Brian across the country in pastors' gatherings and watching him affirm pastors from Halifax right through to British Columbia. And so it's been wonderful to reconnect with Brian in different ways. And then I step back one degree and think about the influence that he's had on others. And your pastor, Brian, and my pastor, Doug, serve together at Seven Oaks Alliance as youth pastor and junior high youth pastor. And when I first started attending Alder Grove Alliance, I was listening and watching to Doug, appreciating how he teaches. And I'm thinking there's something familiar. So the influence of Brian Buehler is in my life, even at Alder Grove Alliance. But also I know that my pastor, Doug, has influenced your pastor, Brian. And so we all think about our roles and our journeys through life. How is it that we impact the people that we come in contact with? How is it that we influence the ones that we journey with? I see it more and more as I grow older. Do I have the right influence or do I have the wrong influence? Do I have a positive influence or a negative influence? Do I have a holy influence or an evil influence? I look back at the choices that I've had to make through my life and the people who have helped me make those choices. Some of those choices were complete bonehead ideas and choices. And yet somehow in God's grace, He has taught me through those crazy things. I've looked at some of those choices that were the right choices and good choices, and yet still, despite that, there were some difficult things we had to endure, and yet we learned from that as well. And so I look at myself as a man, as a husband, as a son, as a dad, and a grandfather, and I want to have the right, I want to help people make the right and holy decisions. And since I've been working at Focus on the Family, I have been intrigued watching parents. Parents should be a tourist attraction. You go to a mall or to Walmart or to Save On Foods or wherever, and you watch kids first. Kids know they're in public. There's a buffer of safety, usually, where they can push the right buttons and watch mom and dad respond or react or overreact. You see the look in their eye. It's like, okay, there's an audience. I'm going to poke in the right place and let's see what happens today. Little weasels, man. But then there's the parents watching them respond. I've seen fear in those eyes, but also a calm confidence. Others use interesting ways to get out of those challenges, and they use threats. Fantasy threats. You know what they're like. They're impossible for some of those to come through, but they are desperate, and they want to get control of their kids quickly. And so we think about parents. You think about how parents responded in Scripture as well. There's some great example of parents in Scripture, and there's some horrible examples of parents in Scripture. And I'm not sure that this would be a place that I, or a story that I would talk on Mother's Day about, but do you remember this? It's about John the Baptist. And let me share the story and remind you of what was happening there. King Herod was having a celebration. And his wife's daughter was dancing for all those who were in the celebration having the party. It was his birthday. But he was very impressed how this girl danced for him. So impressed, in fact, that he impulsively calls her over and offers her, his stepdaughter, anything that she wishes, up to half of his kingdom. Can you imagine the surprise of this young woman, this gal? And so she goes and consults her mom for advice. And at that moment, this woman had an amazing choice. Here was an opportunity for her to set up her daughter and her family for life. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. She could influence her daughter in such a way that she would receive an incredible blessing that would carry her through everything. However, this woman, instead of passing on a blessing, chose otherwise. She requested John the Baptist's head on a platter. It's difficult for me as a dad or as a parent to understand a couple of things. Why would I not do all I could for my kids. The other thing here is, what has happened to this woman that she was so angry and so bitter and so frustrated that she would rather see somebody die than to bless her child? She could have passed on bitterness, but she passed on bitterness. And our lives, though, may not be quite so dramatic as that. How often do I make choices, or do we make choices, that pass on maybe the wrong things to the next generation, to our families, or to the people who are important in our lives? How often do I pass on my own bitterness and frustration? Part of my journey through life was to be a delivery driver. I'd finished up at a role in a church in Ontario, and then I was up in Toronto and delivering around southern Ontario. It was quite an interesting job, actually, quite liked it. But all the guys knew when I came that they knew that I'd been a pastor. So they teased me, and it was okay. No problem, I'm Scottish, I've got a thick skull and a thick skin, and I can take it and I can dish it back. So I got to know them really well. And one day, there was a backup in the depot, and we couldn't get our loads up as quickly as we liked. And so one of the fellas there came and helped me load everything up so we could try and get back on schedule, and worked like dogs and got it all filled up. And he called me a priest or something, or father or something. So I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, "Oh, bless you, my son." Took off. Finished the route that day, and I came back. And he was standing there with three other guys. He said, "You know, Steve, nobody has ever blessed me before. And I told these guys, and they want you to bless them too." I go, "What? I was joking, sort of. Not completely joking. I was very thankful for what they had done. But," he said, "I have never been blessed by a priest before." And they said, "Yeah, would you bless me that way?" And a huge lesson for me was, if something that I thought was so casual could be felt so deeply by that guy, how much impact could I have about being intentional with blessing the people who are important in my life? Speaking of blessing deliberately, directly, and purposely, how would that affect the people that I love? And so we journey through Scripture to look at how blessing is delivered. And there's a number of ways, and so let's look at a few of them this morning. In Genesis chapter 12, we read about God's promise to Abraham. And he says this, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you." We have heard that a lot, but ponder on that for a minute. All people will be blessed through you. Incredible. Then let's move on. Isaac gives this blessing to his son. This is a father to a son. "May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's riches, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and people bow down before you. Be Lord over your brothers and my sons, and the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." Imagine receiving a word like that from your own father, from your own mother. And guys, maybe all of us here, some of you have had great dads, and some of you maybe not so good dads. Imagine having that spoken into your life by your father or your grandfather. Anyway, let me keep going here. And then here's from a minor prophet, Zephaniah, to the people in Jerusalem. "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. If we can just ponder on that as God's people, knowing that that's how much God loves us. And finally, let's hear some words from Peter as he communicates to a church. 1 Peter chapter 3 says this, live in harmony with one another. Now, I'm going to stop right there before I go on. I love harmony. I love harmony because of the musical aspects of it, because it brings the uniquenesses of the different musical pieces and voices into one to make something beautiful. I love harmony because God creates that with bringing people together who are unique from one another and yet blends them together to make something spectacular. I look at how families are blended and how family trees grow and intermingle with others, and how God brings those uniquenesses together to make something more beautiful. I was born in Scotland. I came to Canada when I was a little boy, grew up in a fairly Scottish home, and then I met this beautiful Mennonite girl who didn't even know where Scotland was. And I didn't know what farmer sausage was. There's a beautiful uniquenesses brought together. We celebrated 26 years of marriage this past year. But it gets better. My half-Scottish, half-Mennonite daughter met this guy whose last name was Den Hollander. Could it get more Dutch? And they've got a grandson. Talk about strong-willed children, hey? Have you met a stubborn Scotsman? Yeah, you have. A stubborn Mennonite? Yeah, you have. A stubborn Dutchman? Oh yeah, you have. But he's great. And I look at this little boy, I think, look at the harmony that's being focused on this one little boy. But I digress. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. I should stop there too. How many of you have brothers? I do too. And we loved as brothers with bruises and skin knuckles and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Incredible. These are just a few brief passages from Scripture that sets out four different settings that help us see how God allows blessing to be used and delivered. We saw God himself provide a blessing to an individual. We read in Scripture how a parent provided a blessing to a child. How a prophet or a leader spoke blessing to a city. And then a pastor or a New Testament writer to a church. And we understand a little bit of how we have been blessed. We understand just a little bit, and part of my prayer for all of us this morning is that we will open our eyes just a little bit more to see how much God has blessed us. We have opportunity today, as I understand each week you do, is to enjoy the Lord's Supper together. This represents a blessing that we can never fully get our minds around and understand. But as people who have been blessed thoroughly, how do we share that blessing from us to others? We want to see that blessing is important to the people around us, because as we say a blessing to somebody and take and be intentional about it, we are saying to them that you are important, that you are valuable, that I care about you. I want the best for you. It provides a depth and a security in a relationship that many people crave. It will help develop a safety in a relationship that many are looking for. And in fact, one of the core needs that we have is to feel secure and safe It's incredibly beneficial to friendships, to families. You think the places that you work, if you were able to bless one another, what difference that would make? And you, as the herd of sheep here at Pacific Community Church, if you enjoyed and practiced more blessing one another, how the impact in each other's lives would be. And I'm so pleased to hear about your kitchen and how you are blessing Surrey and Cloverdale with the opportunity to serve the people in this community. You will. You are already being a blessing through that. A friend of mine, as I was sharing with him that I was coming here and what I was hoping to share, he said, well, let me tell you a story. Just a couple of weeks ago, he had been in a northern Alberta speaking in a church. I was there for the whole weekend. And the pastor's wife was just hair on fire busy, doing everything, scurrying about, making sure that everything was done correctly and appropriately, and just loving every minute of it. And he went up to her and said, you know, you're doing a great job. Just the Lord bless you by doing that. It stopped her in her tracks. She kind of got herself back together and she had to go do a few more things. And she came back to my friend Randy and she said, I've been here in this church for 14 years. No one has ever said anything like that to me before. 14 years, faithful service. So may I ask you, as you watch others serve here in other places, recognize that and let them know about it. Say a little blessing to them for how they serve the people here. You don't want to overdo it, obviously, but people need to know that they are appreciated. That lady received a word of blessing and an empowerment that day that made a difference in her life. The power of spoken word is key theme throughout Scripture. And if you read in James, talks about honesty concerning the power of the tongue. It should make us all quite nervous as we look back at the things we have said and how we have said them and wish we could take some of those things back. But as much damage as can be done with the words that we say, imagine the beauty that can be created by using words like that. But I know as well that there are barriers to blessing. There are people who will find it difficult in how to really go about doing that. And some of the challenges in our society these days is in our families and where we are, our lives are built on performance. Where an individual's value rests on how well we measure up and how we stack up to the expected standard or how we measure up on the measuring stick. And nothing short of perfection is acceptable in our own minds or in some cases the people that we interact with. Another barrier to passing on words of blessing is a direct response to our fast-paced society. Everyone is hair on fire busy. Everyone is tired. Everyone is preoccupied. The amount of personal, quality, quiet time has become very limited. And a third barrier comes from a general inability to express deeply personal expressions and feelings. In some families, these simply aren't shared. A common response that I get from people is, well, they know how I feel. They get it. They see what I do for them. But the fourth barrier, is a blessing has not been modeled for people. They've never seen it in their families before. They haven't seen their grandparents or their parents provide blessing to anybody. So many people simply don't know what it takes or how to do it. It feels awkward to them. They wonder, how is this going to be delivered or how is it going to be received? And so, as a dad and a grandfather, for the sake of our generation and the next generations, take a little risk. And as awkward and as weird as it might feel, Find opportunities to really bless your family. And there's certainly lots of ways that we can do that. But there's ingredients that are very helpful. In the book, The Blessing, by Gary Smalley and John Trent, they outline five elements that are very key and very important in delivering a blessing to your family. First of all, meaningful touch. Meaningful touch. How do I and my son connect physically? He's 22. What's appropriate for me as the dad to connect physically with my son? He's bigger and stronger than I am now, so if I punch him, he will punch me back. And I bruise easier than him. But find ways of doing that. Always verbalize it. Don't assume that they know. And even if they do know, the power of actually hearing that you are blessing them will resound in their minds and in their hearts for a long time. A spoken message. And attach the high value that they are to you in that blessing. And maybe part of the struggle for us in that is we may struggle in our relationship with God because we don't quite understand how much He loves us, despite the fact that we come to a table like this knowing that He died for us. But again, if we're building our lives on performance, thinking that we have to work and attain something through our own efforts, we may struggle in that area. And affirm their gifting. Let them try to glimpse what tomorrow or the future might hold for them. And be creative. And though our kids are from the same genetic stock, they are different from each other. And so be as creative as you can so that the message you deliver connects deeply with their hearts. You think of these things, they cross culture, they transcend culture. They're characteristics that are effective here or where Brian and Myrna are today. And as we're talking about passing on a blessing, a very common pattern is blessing from a parent to a child. And we've talked about those things. And part of this, actually, I feel, is part of the discipleship role of parents. The discipleship process where we as moms and dads share about God and teach about God with our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is very clear in how we walk through life and share about God with our children. So as we journey through life, we're driving in a car or on a holiday or whatever, share how God has answered some of your prayers recently or about some of the prayers that you're actually engaged in. Remind your family about how God has journeyed you through some difficult things. If you're in the middle of some difficult things, ask one another for support in prayer as you do go through those. Part of it, I think, for us as parents is we believe that we need to be perfect as parents. But our kids know we're not perfect. We blew that a long time ago. Our kids want us to be real. When we blow it, we need to admit it. We want to be able to develop a life journey with them where talking about our salvation and about Jesus and His sacrifice is a natural conversation for us to have. The Bible tells us that the discipleship of our children is the parents' job. Discipleship of children is the parents' job. The church is very important as an assistant in that role, but it's not up to the church to disciple your kids. Let the church support you in that. They're very important. The church is very important in that. But it might take a little bit of courage for you to grab a hold of that role again to journey with your kids. You know, the world that we live in offers a lot more criticism than blessing. There's a lot more harshness out there than encouragement. And churches and Christians find themselves in some strange places at times. And we have the opportunity as followers of Christ and as churches to represent God and His grace. So as we think about the important people in our life, begin to picture the next generation. What do I want to see my son to do? What do I want to see my daughter accomplish? How do I see my friends who are in different parts of the world blessing their families as well, to see the next generation of ministry leaders raising up? What about the next generation of church leaders? And I don't mean necessarily pastors or denominational leaders, but about those who serve in churches. You think about those people, and then we begin thinking of how the impact of pouring blessing into their life from a number of different sources will generate a very positive traction in all those things. I think about how the words of blessing from my brother to my kids is so important. And my blessing from me to my brother and sister's kids is so important. And how important it is for my pastor, who is a good friend of mine, to say those kind of things to my kids and grandkids. It's amazing to watch them light up. So take those opportunities and picture them receiving that blessing. My son had opportunity to go and live in Scotland for a couple of months, and then from there he went to Turkey and Syria for a couple of months. And as he was there and he was emailing back and forth, it was very exciting to listen to how he was learning so much and gaining great experience and connecting with people and sharing his faith and all that he was learning. And then he talked about at one point where one of the people on his team just felt so bad about his relationship with his dad because it was not a good one. And my son asked me, and I was sad that he had to ask me that. He says, "Dad, do you believe in me?" I said, "Of course, Andrew, I believe in you." I said, "I want to bless you so that you are who you are. I don't expect you to be me. I want you to be Andrew." And he says, "Well, Dad, how can I help my friend whose dad will never say anything like that to him?" He says, "If you're a friend, your blessing will also be very important. And when your kids go to different parts of the world, there's lots of things that go through your mind. You want them to adventure, at least I do. I want my son and my daughter to see all kinds of things, see what God's doing in other parts of the world. And yet there's a bit of fear, isn't there?" Got an email from Andrew in Turkey. "Dad, I've got a cavity and I need a root canal. Do you know any dentists in Turkey?" "No." I said, "Well, that's why we get insurance. So go down to the hospital." He went to the hospital. There was a dentist there. And he got a checkup, went ahead and got it done. I said, "Keep the receipts. We'll get it all figured out." And got back. And he emailed me. He said, "Well," I said, "how much was that?" And he told me, and I did the math. And I said, "Are you sure?" He says, "Yeah. It's about $110 for a root canal, a cap, and a filling. I think I'm going to go to Turkey to get my teeth fixed." And he said, "Dad, you know what was really interesting? The dentist was very intrigued with what I was doing here. He was a Muslim guy, but I told him I was a Christian, and we talked. And he said, 'Aren't you afraid of having your teeth fixed by a Muslim?' He says, 'No. Why? Why would I not trust you?' He says, 'Well, there's some interesting history,' which my son doesn't really know that much about. And he says, but then he said to the dentist, 'You blessed me by doing such a good job.'" And he made a friend by saying something like that. And you know, folks, as parents, as we journey through life and we see what God has instructed us to do as parents, the Bible does not teach us to raise safe kids. The Bible teaches us to raise strong kids. So we need to journey with them, like Deuteronomy 6 says, to walk with them so that they see our life of faith, to speak to them so that they understand our faith as it grows, and take opportunities to bless them. So as we think about those things today, and as we get ready to really see the biggest blessing in our life and celebrate at the communion table, think about these things. Maybe promise yourself today to be more intentional about influencing the important people in your life, influencing them with blessing, influencing your kids and your grandkids about the next steps through life. First of all, of course, model a vibrant faith, a real faith that is infectious to the people around. And that much of the journey that we're on, people will notice. But then be very purposeful by the words that you speak, that you empower and you bless those around you in a very purposeful way. So just as we're thinking about Pastor Jim coming up and leading us through the communion, let these words ring in our ears. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So as people who have been blessed, go and bless in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we don't completely understand or know how much you have blessed us. I don't think in our humanness we can comprehend all that it is. So I pray that you will help us open our eyes just a little bit more today to see the blessings you've poured into our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you will give us opportunities to be a blessing in the actions and the journey that we're on, but also with the words that we will use to speak purposefully into people's lives. And even in the challenges that we face, even in maybe some folks here in the worst day of their life, I pray, Lord, that you will use them somehow to bless somebody around them. So we pray for courage to do that. We pray for opportunity to do that. And I pray, Lord, for us as parents and grandparents, that our journey will reflect you and that our words will bless many, especially our family. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.